A Joker standalone film, an Aquaman trailer coming, plus our good friend Todd Stashwick is here with a huge DCEU announcement right now.
Welcome to Popcorn Talk, featuring movie discussion, news, and interviews. Popcorn Talk, we talk movies. And now, here's Popcorn Talk's DC movie news.
Oh, are we doing that?
Yeah,
we're doing
League.
This.
There are assembled the world's
like
four greatest heroes.
Three heroes today.
From the cosmic legends of the universe.
That is correct. We are here. Welcome to DC Movie News right here on the Popcorn Talk Network. It is such a fun episode that we have lined up for you today. First off, we're at DC Movies SK on Twitter, facebook.com/DC Movies SK. If you're watching this right now, go and retweet us. We want to get as many people in the live chat as possible. Mike Kalinowski is out fighting crime, but follow him at Mike Kalinowski. Adam Gertler was on Good Morning America this morning with sausages and doghouse restaurants. So he is in New York. He is not with us, but make sure you check out the clip. It's so weird to say that Adam was on Good Morning America this morning.
He always does things like that because he's a baller, but also because he is a worst mocker. Yeah. And I love that in our group chat, like Adam's on GMA and Johnny's texting our group chat. He's like, yo, Adam, you making it to the show today, bro?
I was out of reception area the last week and I couldn't get all the group texts. I had no idea where Adam was. I'm like, who's coming today? So yeah, Adam was wearing one of those cool little flowered, I think, short sleeve shirts. Like he looks like a dad, essentially. And it's pretty
dad.
In
well, nothing
way.
Like that. You're a really cool dad. So let's get to it. I'm Johnny LaQuasto at Jay Quasto on all social medias. The crown jewel of the DC Movie News Show is here. You've seen her all the time on Collider, on Screen Junkies. She's all over the place. Follow her at Roxy Stryer. She's here right now, Roxy Stryer.
Yeah, keeping it nice and simple for the people with my name as my handle.
As you should.
Thank you.
There's only one Roxy Stryer.
There is.
That's actually true. I've never found another. Do you guys ever type your name into Google or Facebook and try to see if there's another
this
one?
Google you
never.
Yeah, so you go to google.com. Yeah.
Nope.
Is it like MySpace?
Kind of. Okay. With a little less music.
Mm.
Fair enough.
That's on the tubes.
Okay, does Justin Timberlake also own that?
Yeah, he makes raspberries.
Dane Cook owned it.
Ooh.
Back in the day, he certainly
right?
did.
He did.
Let's get to our special guest. Not only is he a friend of the show, but he's back from Vancouver right now where he's going to be filming a live-action Kim Possible film as Dr. Draken. We loved him on 12 Monkeys, which is about to get rolling for its final season, premiering on June 15th, as well as from the originals, even two episodes of Gotham.
What?
Yeah. But he's here today for a very special reason to drop some exclusive news very specific to the DCEU. Welcome back to the show, Todd Stashwick.
What an intro!
That was breathy.
Thanks, buddy.
Yeah.
I'm a breathy guy.
Yeah, you are.
You guys should have seen when Todd walked into the studio today and talked about Kim Possible, the jaws that dropped. Like, we are that perfect demo where you walked in and you were like, yeah, I just got back from filming a little Kim Possible. And everybody was like,
what?
Like, nobody can speak to you anymore.
Yeah.
Like this amazing guy who's come in on our show multiple times. It's like, oh, our cool friend Todd is now like, we can't speak.
That's going to be the tipping point in my career. Was like, I've done a lot of things and then suddenly I'm playing a live action cartoon character and then
that's
the one that's putting it all over the edge.
It only takes one.
I'll take it. It does, right?
And it's so cool
overnight.
How you being back on the show came about. You sent a message to Roxy and I last week, and then I said...
Slipped into the DMs.
Yeah, into our DMs, and we started talking. I said, well, I'm about to leave town. I'm going to Vancouver. Mm-hmm. And you say, wait, I'm in Vancouver. So we meet up last Tuesday. We go to a comedy club, and then we hang out for a...
No, we didn't go to a comedy club. I went and watched you do a great set.
Thank you.
At a comedy club.
You're way too kind.
Did you give blood while you were doing the set?
I would.
Because that seems
to
be Johnny's MO.
If I could do that?
Yeah, I know. You're a good guy.
I actually do want to create a comedy tour called the Take My Blood, Please Comedy Tour, where I go to different cities and create blood drives centered around stand-up.
That's pretty
People
good.
Laugh more when they're lightheaded.
Exactly.
That is so true.
Right? And eating cookies.
Right? And give them booze.
Boom.
See?
Ooh. Deadly combination.
We got it set up. Yeah. And so we start talking. You're like, hey, I kind of have an announcement, and I'd like to do it on your show. So we set it up for today. Obviously, you're busy as all can be. You're going back and forth between Vancouver, filming Kim Possible, which is such a dream role for so many people that found out
I'm
about
very
it.
Excited.
12 Monkeys, the final season about to get going June 15th.
Uh-huh. Yeah, season four will start airing a week from tomorrow. And it's going to be over a 3-week period, 4-week period? I don't know. Who knows? But we're doing, they're going to do a little block, a little binge block every week before the finale. So okay. That's exciting. You can catch up on seasons 1 through 3 on Hulu right now. And
you're Hulu. A badass on that show.
What's well, thank you. What's amazing about that, about us, when we got picked up for season 3 into season 4, we knew 4 was going to be the end. And so the writers were able to craft a complete story. So it's if you haven't seen the show,
it's exciting.
Catch up on seasons 1 through 3 on Hulu and then jump into the mix. We just got a review in Forbes comparing us to Battlestar and Doctor Who.
Hey now!
So yeah,
never heard of them.
Yeah, it's a little show. Kim Possible? Have you seen that?
Yeah, now I know what you're talking about. We're back. Now you're speaking my language.
Yeah, these millennials and their Kim Possibles.
But here's the crazy thing. So, because all of those things make you an incredible performer and somebody who is on this show because you are in the entertainment industry, but never, well, I guess you were on Gotham too, so, but never have you had an announcement of this size to bring on DC. Like, what a cool thing for our fans.
This is exclusive for us, and it's really awesome that you wanted to come on the show, not only to show off your DC tattoos, but also
they're pretty cool
to make this announcement. Aside from everything we just mentioned, you're being incredibly busy. What other project are you currently working on that you are allowed to tell us?
Well, I'm excited to announce, actually first time publicly, that I hear drums.
Yeah.
I'm co-writing Suicide Squad 2.
Yes!
Thank you. So how did that come to be?
Well, I've been writing a lot. You know, it's funny because so much of my career is a public face as an actor. But behind all of that, I've always been writing since Second City. I developed pilots that I've written with the Sci-Fi Channel. I was writing a Star Wars game for 3 years, working with Lucasfilm and EA. And then Gavin O'Connor, who's directing and writing Suicide Squad 2, and I had done, I actually talked about it last time I was here.
We had worked on
projects with him as my director, and so we had a great rapport and a great relationship, and then this project came about, and he and I started talking, and he and I, he appreciated my deep love for the franchise, for DC and all things. I'm a DC guy.
And plus, people need to know you've been a writer for years.
Yeah. So just
did Gavin know that at the time, or you?
Yeah,
because
it's funny because when I was working on a film with him called Jane Got a Gun, I was in the middle of development with a pilot I was writing, co-writing with for Sci-Fi Channel, a big space opera. And that, you know, as these things do, you know, you spend a lot of time working on something, it never comes to pass. But, so he knew about the comic that I write, Devil Inside. He knew about the pilot. So he knew I was a writer. So that when we sat down and he started, you know, picking my brain, and he could see that this is something that I have a deep passion for. Mm-hmm. And I understand genre. That's kind of what I like to write in. I like to write in science fiction, fantasy, horror, superhero genre. So, and then once we started bouncing ideas back, there's a third writer, David Barquette. So the three of us are writing it together. And so once we started talking and just bouncing ideas back and forth, he was like, this is the team. This is who I want for this. And you know, we're working with Jeff Johns and the good people at Warner Brothers. And
how cool is a DC fan is it to be working with Jeff Johns?
He's the best. He's the best. And again, he's all, what's great about, you know, I feel the kinship. So he's a fan who grew up loving this stuff, and now he's contributing to moving the canon forward. Mm. And like I got to do with the Star Wars game. Unfortunately, that will not, you know, we're not finishing that game, but I got to work in a franchise. I mean, my loves are Star Wars and Batman.
It's funny because you've been in the business for over 20 years and you've had such a long career. Yeah. But we talked about it in Vancouver. You just said, when it comes down to it, I am a DC kid. Like,
I'm a
that's
DC kid.
Yeah.
I'm a DC kid. And so, you know, there's a lot of, like, I wouldn't necessarily know where to start writing a Marvel film. Sure. Because that's not my forte. That's not my passion. I'm much more of a DC guy. And so these are the characters I read about. These are the films that I delight in. And I love the Marvel films. But the opportunity to be invited into a project that I'm passionate about is yet another bucket list that I get to check off.
Can you talk about where you are in the project, how far along it is, or if you've finished a draft, or just...
I'm excited to announce that I'm co-writing Suicide Squad 2.
Yeah. Yeah, again.
I really cannot say anything.
Sure.
I can say that we have been working hard to craft something that we're really proud of and a story we want to tell.
Here's a brilliant question from chat roll. Will you bring Will Smith back? Answer. Totally kidding.
I'm excited to announce that I'm...
who traditionally has been your favorite member of the squad?
Yeah.
Of the squad? Oh, like as a reader of the squad?
Yeah, sure.
I love Amanda Waller. And yeah. I also love... I love Harley Quinn. I mean, because I'm very much a Batman guy, as you see. Really? He was my entry drug into DC, and so I have such an affection for the Batman villains specifically. And so I love Harley, and what Margot did with it was pitch perfect. And so I love Harley Quinn. Yeah.
Now here's a question I think you can answer, and you know, Roxy and I, we've only been asked to write like a half a dozen films together. It's no big deal. Like,
yeah,
we're not bragging.
We're turning them down. Honestly, they're banging on our door, and we don't have the time.
Yeah, so. Just throwing the scripts back. No. So when you found out that you're going to be working on Suicide Squad 2, how closely have you gone back to study the first one?
Or the source material?
You know, that's the job of all of us to understand. To deep dive and that's what Jeff is there for, and that's what, you know, it's our jobs as writers to understand the world and understand these characters as best as we can. So yeah, we dig in and we do our reading and we do our research, and then ideally what you also want to do is tell a fresh story, an original story that comes from grounded in the world and moves it forward.
What were your thoughts on the first Suicide Squad in general? Roxy and I have been public to say we enjoyed it, but we understand the polarizing reaction between the public and Rotten Tomatoes and the whole thing.
What I really enjoyed about that film is it really felt like the DC universe. The way he crafted it so they would cut away to Batman or to Boomerang being caught by Flash, and it felt DC to me. Mm-hmm. So that really really surprised me that the flavor was so spot on.
There's so many comments in the chat right now. I do want to say the first thing that everybody's saying is congratulations.
Oh, thanks,
and now
everybody.
They're very excited to see this movie. Yes. And these are questions that you probably cannot answer, but I will shout out anything. A couple that are being asked over and over again. Mm-hmm. People are wondering the rating of this film, if it's something that...
I couldn't, that is not
you don't
my...
Even know.
That is not my job or purview.
Right.
How many F words have you written?
They also want to know if you have a role in this or if you would like one.
I'm only concerned with turning in a great script right now.
Exactly.
Great.
Yeah.
We love that.
Yeah.
I'll say them as a lot of people are asking very intense questions that you definitely cannot answer. Yeah. So none of those. Yeah. Production date for the sequel. Do you have any kind of timeline do you guys have?
Again, not my purview. This is not my realm, or these decisions are made by people beyond me.
Here's one interesting question.
Loving all of these answers.
Right? I mean, and that's just the truth. I just don't have that. These are decisions made by people that aren't me. And
right.
Yeah.
And clearly you playing Dr. Draken doesn't affect anything with your involvement in Suicide Squad 2.
No.
Although some people are already pitching that crossover, so can you talk about that for a second?
I'll leave that to Etsy.
Oh,
for them.
Amanda
to,
Waller
and
hires
to make those mashups.
Waller brings in Draken. That's where we start.
That would be pretty amazing. Have you had any contact with Air, or is that somebody that you will be working with from the first Suicide Squad?
Contact with?
With David Air, with
any of those, like
or anybody
any
from
of that,
the first.
I am working with
The people on
David
this movie.
And Gavin, and those are my collaborators.
Cool.
Yeah. That's got to be such an amazing, surreal, fun, kind of stressful, all rolled up in one.
Well, as I, you know, we were talking earlier, it, like writing films that are of this size and stature. I said that, you know, in many ways, it's like climbing the Himalayas, but you only can look at your hands. If I just keep doing the job that is right in front of me, if I don't look up, if I don't look down, I go, no, I just have to do this. I have to focus on the work and focus on what I'm doing and put my passion and creativity into that.
Did you know the other person on the project before?
No, I met him through Gavin. Yeah, cool. And we've created a collaboration and a process to which we're crafting this. Yeah,
and Gavin's body of work, in my opinion, makes him a great director for this film. You guys already have that relationship. You already have that chemistry.
We've known each other for a while,
and you have the love behind the canon and the narrative that Suicide Squad 2 is going to have. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was already a massive commercial success. It made I forget how many hundreds of millions of dollars.
Seven, I think.
Above that, over eight. That's what I think. Yeah.
I think so.
Wow.
And so
crazy.
And I think, you know, if people weren't happy with David Ayer, I think having this new team, people are going to get really excited about this, and we certainly are.
We're doing our job, you know, and that's all I can do is tell a good story. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Should we move on to other DC
news? Yeah, because I'm loving everybody now. It's just all love.
They're love. Yeah, I'm a fan of love.
And you know you're going to get people saying,
I've loved love for, this won't be the first time that there's going to be blowback. You know, I mean, people always have something to say, but the positivity seems lovely.
Well, people can watch this show if they want to see
fans.
All the info
good fans.
That could be given out right now. So how about this?
Are you, one of the comments, just, are you ready?
Am I ready? Am I ready?
Are you ready?
Are you ready? Mr. Todd Sky Patterson asks, "Am I ready for Suicide Squad 2?" That sounds like a movie line.
Yeah.
Are you ready?
It's the proverbial ready.
I'm doing it. Yeah. So there's my answer.
Well, your answer would be born ready.
Born ready.
That's actually not true. By that, you mean have taken all of the classes, have been writing for years, have been performing for years, have been a DC reader for years.
Yeah,
born ready.
Opportunity meets preparedness meets opportunity is not nearly as sexy as born ready.
It's like Jeffrey Lebowski would say, the royal ready. Yeah. Are you ready?
And now the rest of your comments on the show today have to do with you not as a writer on Suicide Squad 2, but just as a fan of any of the DC movies.
Yeah.
So nothing he's saying is official about when we talk about Joker or anything that has to do with that. Now he's just going back to being a fan.
Uh-huh. Exactly. So speaking of which,
you're the fanboy.
This is very rather confusing. Jared Leto is apparently getting his own movie as the Joker, but don't confuse him with the Todd Phillips Joaquin Phoenix Joker. Are they both going to be a thing? I don't know, but this is in Variety, so you can generally believe Variety. But he's going to star and executive produce an untitled standalone film, paving the way for future movies branching from Suicide Squad. But we already announced earlier.
Right. So there have been two announcements of films in the work, guys. So not films that are 1,000% coming.
Sure.
Films that are in the works. The first one is the one that we talk about as the Martin Scorsese one because he was signed on to be a producer, not the director, of a standalone Joker film. Mm-hmm. The next one is now Jared Leto, who was previously the Joker and also would be a producer on a Jared Leto Joker standalone film as reported by Variety this week. Now, neither of those films have seemed to negate the other. They're not saying that one knocks the other out of the running. They are both currently in development, it seems, in some sort. Mm-hmm. That would be what I gather from the information that has been put out there, which is interesting.
Okay, I want to ask both of you, what are your thoughts on doing a Leto Joker film along with a Todd Phillips Joaquin Phoenix? Don't you think that's a little muddy? Perhaps.
When you say alongside, do you mean like the same year?
Even 2 years apart.
I'm going to say it's a very strange move. Okay. I would think that right now, with DC's current slate/non-slate, having two standalone Joker films be two of the next movies out in the next 5 years would be a strange move, yes. I don't think that anybody would necessarily see that coming. However, it does seem like DC is taking this path where they're splitting off into two different universes, which mm-hmm. they can do because obviously the multiverse, where they're going to have one universe and another universe with the same characters possibly run simultaneously, is the feeling that I've been getting. And in that case, they can kind of do whatever they want. Todd?
As a fan?
Yes.
Look, I'm a comic fan, so I read many different writers and many different artists approach a title. You know, I'm reading there's a Detective Comics, and then there's a Batman Comics, and there's different artists and different writers there. So as a fan, I go, I'm always interested to see how different artists and writers interpret the characters. Mm-hmm. So I think good is good if it's good. You know, it'll prove itself. So if there's good writing and good performances and good filmmaking, then you'll know, right? Like that's my feeling, because DC is kind of, and then they have there's a Flash on TV and there's a Flash in Justice League. Like they've groomed
there's a couple Flashes on TV.
They've groomed their audience in many ways to understand that they can have many different people doing many different things simultaneously.
But the fact that we never had a Joker standalone movie, and I have not heard an outrageous amount of outcrying for it, like, must have Joker standalone, and now there are two that are in development, makes me think that DC, it probably is going to go through with one and not the other. I would say we have a 90% chance that one of these doesn't happen. That one, my prediction would be the Joaquin Phoenix one's not happening. And there's a 50% chance that neither of these films actually end up happening, because that's why you develop a film, to see if it's a good fit. And there's a lot of different spots for Jared Leto's Joker right now. Mm-hmm. Possibly, and again, I have no inside knowledge on this, possibly in a Suicide Squad 2 or in a Gotham City Sirens / Birds of Prey, sure, whichever direction I think they're going, Birds of Prey, or in a Batman movie, as we are doing the Batman. There's all different places Jared Leto can pop up as the Joker, and maybe he could have his own standalone film. I think it's more likely than a Joaquin Phoenix one.
Well, it's funny you say that, because there was an article that came out this week saying DC is really going to be focusing on blockbuster films featuring the supervillains. You already mentioned a couple of them, Birds of Prey, you know, obviously Suicide Squad, Gotham City Sirens, not to mention whenever The Rock decides to be Black Adam, which...
Yeah.
You know, it's going to happen at some point, I think. And so it's all been,
great.
Oh, yeah.
He will be. Yeah. I believe that will happen one day. Just no idea when.
It's just Disney's got him wrapped up big time right now. But, of course, Harley Quinn was the catalyst. But I think part of the reason maybe you're saying there hasn't been a huge outcry for a Joker standalone, I feel like if Heath Ledger was still around, we would have gotten that standalone film already, in my opinion.
Where would that have taken place, though?
I don't know.
Maybe. I mean, because he is so ridiculously talented.
He opens a deli.
But...
Yeah.
Maybe. Yeah. I don't like the dislike for Jared Leto's Joker. I think he did a very strong job in the small amount of time that he had on screen.
Exactly.
And so I would be equally as excited for a Jared Leto one. Now, obviously, Joaquin, being the other person we're talking about, is a brilliant performer. Mm-hmm. He's very busy. He's got a lot of projects going on.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that it's unfortunate that a lot of people are comparing these two actors, because they are so vastly different, and they have different ideas for what this character would be. So I would be interested to see what Jared Leto would be able to do with this. Is it my number one movie that I have always been like, since I was a kid, yes, I need this to be? No. But is Shazam that movie either? No. And it's looking like it actually might be pretty cool. So,
sure.
You know?
And the world wasn't asking for an Iron Man film when Iron Man hit.
Certainly not.
And then... suddenly it launched a franchise. Like
it really did.
It was the head of that spear. Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. Good point.
And in Walter Hamada's A New Bio, it says, in this role, he oversees the slate of films based on superheroes and supervillains from DC. That's kind of what sparked everything here. Speaking of roles, Diane Nelson has stepped down as president of DC Entertainment. She's been with Warner Brothers since 1996. They did not specify a reason for why she's leaving, but she, I guess, took the last few months off for personal leave, and now she's officially going to be stepping down.
So if this information sounds repetitive to you guys, it's because about, like Johnny just mentioned, maybe 3 months ago on the show,
mm-hmm.
we said that Diane Nelson was stepping down indefinitely. And now it's definitely, because she went from I'm taking a leave to I'm actually leaving. It seems like there is information we are not privy to as DC fans right now about shakeups going on in the DC. I hate to call it the DCEU because that's not what it is anymore, sure. But the DC, whatever we want to call it, the DC universe. And I don't know if this is part of that. She could be having personal life issues. She could be just over it. Or this could be both sides are looking in a different direction. There's so many different things. I have a hard time believing that DC right now would want to push Diane Nelson out. So I do think that this is her choice. And we don't know why. And it's not our prerogative to know. So unless she wants to tell us what exactly happened, then we don't get to know.
Yeah. Pretty much. Well said. Coming up next, James Wan. Someone tweeted at him this week, at Creepy Puppet, of course. Is there a date when we will see the first Aquaman trailer? I cannot wait for this. And he replies with whispering, soon. So obviously the rumors are that it's going to be
SDCC? Comic-Con.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that seems like a good time. I thought that was very late originally.
Would they put one out at Comic-Con?
Yeah, but now it seems like...
I don't know when the movie's slated to.
December.
December?
I want to say December 18.
I think it's November, actually.
Of this year?
Yeah.
So behind.
Aquaman's the only DC film actually being released this year. I'm pretty sure it's right before Christmas.
Oh, right, because they took a Star Wars spot, but it's December 21st.
It's arriving there soon. There you go, boom. So there might be a tease arriving soon.
And then a full-blown trailer at Comic-Con?
You gotta believe. That would be
cool. Yeah, I don't know.
Because, I mean, when it comes to Comic-Con, DC, because there's only one film coming out this year, I think they have to really roll out some kind of awesome red carpet for the fans in Hall H. So I gotta believe we're gonna get an Aquaman trailer. Probably even a Shazam teaser, because they're done filming.
So the rumor has it, which is we can just jump to that story then, Johnny, because you're talking about it, that there will be some sort of Aquaman, Wonder Woman, and Shazam appearance thing, teaser, trailer, whatever it is, at Comic-Con this year. This was tweeted from Daniel RPK, who we've talked about on the show before, because he is with one of those companies that I'll figure out in a minute. He said, take this with a grain of salt, but I'm hearing that's exactly what we'll get. But again, it's just a rumor for now, and that was in response to somebody tweeting at him a wish list of things that they will see, saying they wish they saw an Aquaman trailer and panel, a Shazam teaser, and a Wonder Woman 84 cheetah image reveal. So possibly, and he says it's a rumor for now, so...
What are your thoughts as Kristen Wiig as Cheetah? I love the move.
I trust, she's a super talented gal, and Patty makes smart decisions.
And you know Patty.
Yeah, I do. Gavin and I both know
y'all
know
go Patty. Way back.
You got cool friends.
I got cool friends. I'm old.
Y'all go back a long time.
I've just been here a while. I've known Patty mid 90s.
Yeah. Oh, my Lord.
And so it was
from
fun.
Projects
was,
or from social?
Social. Like she was dating my friend Brian Callen.
Who I know back, from comedy.
Yeah, so I've known them since 97. Yeah, 97. And it was fun because I was walking on the lot. We were working and I was walking on the lot. And then Patty was walking towards Gavin and I. And we both had that moment of like, hey, oh my God, oh my God.
So cool.
It was really, and we both were just sort of delighting in the fact that, because
she's amazing.
She's a huge fan too. Like she loves this stuff too. So we had a little like, just talking about how exciting it is to be able to be part of this universe.
And that's what we said.
You got me excited.
I'm so excited.
When Kristen Wiig was announced, obviously there was a mixed bag of reaction on the internet. We all were strongly behind it and said, look, just because she's a comedic actress, that guess what? Comedic actors make really good dramatic actors and villains.
No way.
Yeah.
It's my bread and butter.
Exactly. And so, plus, it's like, trust Patty Jenkins. She's given you no reason to not trust her.
She knows what she's doing. And again, Heath Ledger was poo-pooed when he was originally.
Right.
Like, it's like, time and again, you just wait. And as an actor, there's a reason. There's a reason somebody gets a role.
Yep.
It's not like she threw a dart and landed on Kristen Wiig's name. Like, there's a reason she got the role.
Coin flip?
Might have been a coin flip.
Yeah.
There's a reason.
Scratched out on one side.
Gal Gadot just walked in and be like, hey, I'm Wonder Woman. Okay, yeah, you can be Wonder Woman. No, like, she went through a big thing, and now you can't find anyone who disagrees with it. But remember a year and a half ago, a lot of people did.
She's lovely. Too skinny. She's lovely.
There you go. She's not an Amazon.
She's Wonder Woman.
Let's go back to Aquaman. New poster got released. The Newfoundland Herald. It's a weekly magazine in the province of Newfoundland. I believe I said that correctly. And Labrador, not the dog. Apparently, it's a province in Canada.
Well, what's funny is both of those are dogs.
Yeah.
Oh, Newfoundland, that's true.
And a Labrador.
Big dogs.
And I guess a lot of dogs get named out of towns in Canada.
It's a magazine cover.
It's a magazine cover.
He's on the cover.
There you go.
What do you guys think of this image?
Sure. Why not?
It looks like a comic book cover.
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought it was cool.
Mm.
Aquaman and Shazam both right now for me. I'm excited.
We wouldn't be here if we weren't excited.
It's going to be challenging for me to be let down by either of those. Like we've talked about, we're big Batman fans. And so every Batman movie, the hype going in is so real. You compare it to the previous film. You compare it to all the source material. Not that Aquaman doesn't have tons of source material, because of course it does. But in my head right now, what I'm comparing it to is Vincent Chase and Entourage. Like, that is the Aquaman in my head.
Back to Justice, the Super Friends.
Yeah.
So, that's...
Or the one episode of Smallville or whatever. So it's just like, every time I see him, I'm like, he looks really cool.
Yeah.
Like, I'm a little more surprised every time. I'm like,
yeah.
Even now we've seen him in live action, but it's like, he was awesome.
He was badass and hilarious. And so Justice badass.
League. And I'll say
it again.
I heard
that he might be coming back to Game of Thrones. Did you guys hear that? That's irrelevant to this, but the next season. I don't know how that would work, and I don't know what kind of flashback voodoo stuff they're doing, but...
I don't know. I've never seen an episode, so I don't know.
I know nothing, Jon Snow.
I know that phrase. No, that's
you know nothing, Jon Snow.
I clearly know nothing. So, going back to Comic-Con, the rumor is possible, let's just clear this up, possible Aquaman trailer, Shazam teaser, maybe reveal of Cheetah, and also possibly Batman, the Batman with Reeves and Affleck kind of promoting it. Although that would be a far stretch, I think, in my opinion. But
it would be such a great way for Affleck to shut everybody up if he did come out at Comic-Con with Reeves and was like, I am doing this movie.
Yes.
I don't think that's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
But I do think then everything else would kind of fade away. I'm still not convinced he is doing the movie. We will see.
Mm-hmm. Yes, we will. All right. What else is happening here? Warner Brothers...
Todd's just like, I'm not touching any of this with a 10-foot pole anymore.
Yeah.
You guys speculate.
And you don't have to.
More than I know.
Yeah, I doubt that.
So Warner Brothers...
I'm just typing...
Apparently looking for a younger Jon Stewart for... Remember the Green Lantern Corps? That's a film that's supposed to happen.
Mm-hmm.
And so clearly they're far away on casting, and Lord knows as far as the script or when it'll actually happen. But that's the rumor, looking for a younger Jon Stewart.
This is interesting because we talked about the fact that we would like one of the two to be older. If it's going to be Hal, we want a younger Jon. If it's going to be Jon, we want a younger Hal. But probably an older Hal, a younger Jon. But then a lot of people's casting choices for this were like Mahershala Ali or somebody that I feel like maybe we haven't found the right person yet, because they are some 20-year-old kid living somewhere right now who isn't booking necessarily for some reason. So I like that they are – this is just a rumor, but it's cool that they are open to the possibilities and they're not like, we need Michael B. Jordan in this role because we need to pull
five
years. Especially, remember, we heard rumors that Tom Cruise was going to be Hal. And then in that case, you don't need anybody else in the movie because man pulls numbers.
Well, Todd, if you're going younger, that obviously it's because they want to try to build a franchise around it with the two roles.
I would imagine.
Yeah.
I would imagine. And, you know, a two-hander would not be a bad idea.
Agreed.
Like to see the different... Lantern styles, and then, or potentially, you know, mentorship or show me the ropes. Mm-hmm. There could be something really interesting about that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sterling K. Brown, another front runner that this article mentioned. A lot of people have been talking about him in this role.
Mm-hmm. What are your thoughts, Rox, on Black Canary possibly being parts of Birds of Prey as well as Huntress, these rumors that are going around here?
I am a massive Black Canary fan. Mm-hmm. Huge. And I'm excited because finally on Arrow, we have not only a Laurel Lance, but we also have a Dinah Drake, which is really, really cool. And I wonder how exactly they would do this, but it's not far-fetched. It's not like, why would you put a Black Canary in a Birds of Prey movie?
Yeah.
I don't think anybody's like jaw hit the floor on this one. So, yeah, the one concern I would have is that typically when the movies take from somebody who is on TV, except in the case of Flash, which we saw he got to still be, but like when the movies decided, when Suicide Squad's decided they wanted Amanda Waller died on Arrow. We no longer had an Amanda Waller because they didn't want to necessarily muddy the waters too much by having the confusion of people being in two places at once or whatever it is, or they've said, no, you can't have that character. So Black Canary is such a huge part of the DC TV CW universe that as long as they don't mess with that,
But don't forget, that character might be off of television by the time that film is ready to
go. Don't do that to me.
I'm just saying, you don't know how long these shows last. That's rude.
Yeah, but for some reason, Black Canary seems to pop up on all of the shows. Like, she makes her around. She pops over to Flash, and then she's over at Arrow, and then when we do the crossover with Supergirl, and, like, I'm sure Black Lightning will be in that mix soon, so don't try to take my shows from me, Johnny. You know how I feel about that.
I know you love your shows and your stories.
Yeah, I do. I do. But this is kind of like a no-brainer for me.
I agree. Let's see. Someone tweeted at James Gunn, will you ever direct a DC movie? If given the opportunity, he tweets back, I've been given the opportunity, but who knows? Maybe, question mark. Not a big story, just a fun little tweet.
What do you think I've been given the opportunity means? Do you think he was offered a specific film, or do you think DC was just like, hey, if you'd like to come over to DC, let us know?
You know, I God knows how these conversations go.
Right.
And I think in many ways, like, I don't know the story exactly how you got Guardians, but was it, hey, if you had a shot at these titles, which one would appeal to you? And he's like, you know what, I could really tell a good story with Guardians of the Galaxy.
It seems like that is the way fun and weird. Usually. Yeah.
And so my guess is if he was, it could have gone the same way. Or they went, hey, we have this property, you'd be the guy for it. I don't know. That's way around, beyond my realm.
Well, we know with somebody like a Joss Whedon, who obviously is no longer attached to the project, but they went to him and they were like, what you like? And he was like, Batgirl.
Yeah.
You know, and that's how that kind of thing works out. And so if you are a director of James Gunn's caliber, I think you do have your pick of the litter a bit more.
Not to mention they had Whedon help out with Justice League as well.
Yeah.
So Wonder Woman just spotted hanging around Georgetown. That's where Wonder Woman is currently filming right now. So
can you imagine just being out for coffee in D.C.? You're in Georgetown. You're out for coffee. You look over. It's Wonder Woman.
Well, similar story. So one of my very close friends recently was out in L.A., and she was walking in this one restaurant, actually walking out, and she mentioned, she goes, my purse was falling down my shoulder and almost revealed, like, and she goes, in real quick moment, she goes, oh my God. And she, like, tried to cover up her shirt
she
was walking by Chadwick Boseman as he made eye contact with her. And she goes, I'm sorry, I wasn't trying to do that. He's like, yeah.
Oh my God. Yeah. That's amazing.
Reminds me of sort of the guy, Dennis Calero, who's a comic book artist, and he's my collaborator on Devil Inside.
Nice.
He was walking down the street just as Man of Steel came out, and he walked by Michael Shannon, and he went, and Dennis goes, General? And Michael Shannon went, as you were.
That's amazing.
That's not surprising.
That's amazing.
I love that.
Shannon seems like an interesting fellow.
Speaking of walking down the street, I know this crosses over to Marvel territory, but we like these kind of stories, especially because we're do-gooders at this table. I'm looking at you, Johnny.
Okay.
Did you hear about Benedict Cumberbatch this week?
Oh, my God. He stopped four muggers and helped a guy being robbed.
He actually rewound time, and it never happened.
Imagine you're getting mugged by four people. They're on you, and all of a sudden, frickin' Doctor Strange comes through and is like, nope.
And it's not like he was walking. He jumped out of a car.
I know.
First off, how he even saw it happening and then had time to jump out of a car is just beyond me.
I mean, this is probably a very insensitive comment, but if I'm going to get mugged, this is the way I want to do it. Like, I want...
You want Cumberbatch to save it?
Yeah.
And I'm not saying I want it, but I'm saying if it has to happen, can he just be in a car nearby? Because, come on.
In my dream scenario here, I feel like all four muggers realized that it was Doctor Strange, and they ran away in fear going, I'm going back to school! I swear to God, I'm going to get my life straight!
Yeah.
Or they came back with their vintage comic for him to sign.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
The only
Wait. Could you...
Oh, the only thing better would be if Thanos came out and just started snapping. People just started
disappearing.
Anyway, that'd be amazing. Bye-bye, Muggers.
That Mugger story took a weird turn.
It did. It took a really weird turn.
Last thing before TV time, a really fun quote here from George Clooney. They asked him, what movie had the biggest lasting effect on his career? He said, easy, Batman and Robin. It's not a joke. Until that moment, I was only an actor concerned with finding work. After the failure of that film creatively, I understood I had to take control of the films I made, not just the role. And my next three films were Out of Sight, Three Kings, and Oh Brother, Where Art Thou, which I just watched the other day, so it's hilarious.
So good.
Do you think that makes sense as a performer?
Yeah. I mean, look, he probably hoped for the best, and then it was what it was. And then I think he had a moment. Interestingly, I did a film with Matthew McConaughey.
I know.
Called Surfer Dude.
Humble brag.
Which is a... But...
When was this?
This, a number of years ago.
Okay.
And so... But it was like one of those things where it didn't do the business that they thought it was going to do. And after that, Matthew went and did, True Detective and Dallas Buyers Club and like... So there are these moments in your career where you go, okay, maybe I want to change direction and I want to have a bit more autonomy.
2008. This had 2008. Woody Harrelson.
It was a blast to shoot.
Matthew McConaughey.
They were lovely.
Why do I know?
Damn.
Young Todd Stashwick. That's a great stoner film. I'm telling you. I think it's on Netflix.
Wow, I got to get on that.
It's a great stoner film.
Do you remember your character's name?
Was it Vic?
Vic Hayes.
Ooh,
good job,
was
dog.
Was he always in a haze?
It was a stoner film.
So, yeah, Vic Hayes.
Stoner film.
Vic Hayes in a haze.
Yeah. Did it go to theaters?
For a hot minute.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, it's what, like, you look. You
win some, you lose
you
some.
You win some, you lose some. It just didn't do well at the box office. It's a fun film.
Sure.
But it's not Dallas Buyers Club.
Of course.
I mean, yeah. It's called Surfer Dude. So
I need this in my life.
But it was a month. Yeah. It was a month in Malibu with some great people with Woody.
Yeah,
and
look, there's plenty of movies that don't do well at the box office that Woody I Nelson. Like. Saving Silverman, I love that movie. Yeah. Didn't do well.
Yeah.
A movie that we were talking about earlier, which it's not that it's not prestigious, but didn't do as well as I feel like a movie like this should have done, is Warriors. The like
Warrior's
most
great.
Amazing ever.
Warriors great.
Sure.
Yeah.
There you go.
Shout out to Gavin.
TV time.
Gavin directed it.
It's time.
It is that time. We're going to close out strong with.
That's me.
Adam's
cooking, so that's why he's on GMA.
That's right.
We love you, Mikey.
It's
right. TV time. Okay, Mr. Second City, what's your quick line about Todd?
Awesome.
Oh, nailed it.
You know what?
Funny.
Why mess with one word? One word encapsulated it. Yeah. But it's the follow-up and the explain, which is the actual joke. Here, let's talk about this.
All right.
Let's break it down.
I got nothing.
Okay, so for TV time, you guys know a lot of our shows are coming to an end. I did check out those two extra episodes of Lucifer.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, gosh. I'm sad about it because I love Lucifer more than anything. And these two extra episodes, I'm very confused about when they filmed them or how they filmed them. Had nothing
it's
to do.
Framing.
Oh, framing.
We'll talk about that
okay,
later.
I'm a little what confused, so you'll help me. So these two episodes happened after they canceled the show. The series finale aired. These two episodes went. They had nothing to do with the finale.
Really?
Yeah.
What?
They were two episodes that I just don't know where in the next season they were supposed to be. Remember, this show got canceled. They didn't have the luck of the 12 monkeys. They had.
They didn't know they were going to have another
season. They got canceled. And so we left on a cliffhanger. And then we got these two episodes unrelated to the cliffhanger. So it was just
They
weird.
Were just two rogue episodes?
Yeah.
Were they good?
Yes.
Okay, well, there you go.
But I almost wish I didn't see them because I'm upset. They were so good, and I'm excited for the performers who worked on because there were all these new characters. And I was like, that's great for them that their work got aired. Mm-hmm. And as somebody who's a working person, I understand what it's like to film something and have it never see the light of day. And you're like, wow, that's brutal. So I'm happy for them that it aired. But at the same time, I'm like, wait, what? Like, where in the... And when this becomes a series that people binge, where do these...
I don't know.
Where do they live?
That's really
I don't really get it. So that was strange. There was also the finale of iZombie, which was amazing. So good. Johnny, one of these days when you love me enough.
I do love you. I just I can't sleep enough, let alone watch TV.
What do you do when you're in Alaska? Jeez.
There's no reception, that's for sure. I should have found a way to download some episodes.
You got to download. And there was an episode of Supergirl. I will politely say that this episode of Supergirl tried to address gun control.
Okay.
That's all I have to say about that.
Fair enough.
And I feel as if it was a swing and a miss. That is easy to happen sometimes.
Didn't Arrow have a big one like that?
They did. And I actually liked that episode more than other people. This one was...
not there.
Painful. Okay. It was painful for me. I love that now we have to say, for me. If I'm talking, it's obviously my opinion. So that's how I feel. But we do have some news regardless. We got Watchmen set photos that reveal the new locations and characters.
Are you stoked for this, Todd?
I am. I love Watchmen.
Yeah.
You do?
Yeah. I mean, I was there when they were released once a month back in the day. So I've been a long-time Watchmen fan. And I enjoy the film quite a bit, every version.
Me too.
And there's a lot of, in the photos, you see a lot of references to the comics. You got Millennium, you got the Bakery, you got Treasure Island. So very stoked. I don't know if there's a release date on this yet, but.
I don't know that. Is it HBO? Either. Yeah. And it's Damon Lindelof, which so makes gonna be me some, the most
they're
excited.
Spend some money on it. It's going to be fascinating.
Yeah, really excited about that. We were talking about Flash earlier, and I am sad to say that Keenan Lonsdale is not returning as a series regular on The Flash or Legend of Tomorrow. He's had a really interesting career. Greg Berlanti put him in his most recent movie, and he crushed in that. And he also has had a lot of personal talk recently. He came out as part of the LGBTQ community, and he is like living what he talks about, his best life and his truest life, and I don't know if that has anything to do with like his shift in focus or whatnot, but he is hanging up his Kid Flash costume and he makes an amazing Wally West. So this is sad for viewers, but these actors always have a tendency to come back to these shows. So hopefully we will see him return again in the future.
There we go.
And wish him the absolute best because he's really, really talented. Titans, they had a breakdown that was announced potentially hinting at a Superboy.
Yeah. Young Caucasian male in their 20s. Let's see what else does.
Yeah. Referred to as David, 20-something Caucasian male with dark hair who would guest star in the 13th episode, which is the finale of season one. So it's probably somebody big. He's described as a powerful individual who is merciless, so much so that he has recently unleashed chaos to find the people who have been keeping David as a prisoner in a mysterious lab. When we find David, he will have recently escaped this lab. Whoever we see in this role would have a series regular option for consecutive season of Titans.
It's a pretty sweet breakdown.
So, any
specific?
Any dream casting, you guys? Let us know in the comments who you want to be potentially Superboy. That'd be so cool. It was semi-confirmed that Gotham, can I call it your alma mater? Yeah, your alma mater.
Can I say how cool it was to be in Arkham Asylum?
I could imagine.
No, because I'm just jelly.
I'm jelly as a fish. I got pictures. I can show you.
I'm trying to remember. Got to walk around. You do scenes with Dustin Ibarra? He played one of the prisoners as well. A buddy of mine from stand-up.
Yeah, and Small Cameron. World. And like I was part of the season
Monahan?
Of villains. Yeah.
Wow, damn.
And what was interesting is they called to, to book me on it. And it was I was able to fit it in right as I was heading up to go keep going with 12 Monkeys.
Nice.
And so it was like, will we be able to use it? And I was like, oh, please make it work.
Figure it out.
Because I just getting to do that show and work with those guys. And then we ran into each other. Did I tell you my Gotham story?
No.
So I have a little fun. It's a post-Gotham story. So this is a
fair enough.
Story. I'm derailing everything.
And you are so not.
Okay.
You're railing
so,
it. In a good way?
So we were at Comic-Con.
Who was?
It's 12 Monkeys. We were there promoting Comic-Con. And I had just a week before done an episode of Gotham. So I just worked with those guys. But then I was in San Diego for Comic-Con. And we were invited to this party that was like on the penthouse of the Hard Rock. And so my wife and I, we get in this elevator and we go up, and I'm such a fanboy. Like I just love all of Comic-Con. So we cut out, and then there's just this sea of humanity to try and get past the bouncers to get to the desk to check in to the party. And the, the Sci-Fi Channel people cleared us all so that I know I'm on the list. And some of my cast members are already there. They're like, where are you? So, but I'm not the guy who's going to like push and like,
I'm not that guy. I'm too old to be that guy. But the fun part was, as I look over here and I see Danielle Panabaker, who I'd done a Disney Channel with.
So cool.
A film with when she was like Killer 15. Killer Frost. Yeah. And then I saw...
She's also been on AfterBuzz TV.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I interviewed her for The Flash. She's great.
So then, and then I look over and I see the Teen Wolf guys, because I had done a few episodes of that. And so it was just like, oh, okay, at least I have people to talk to while I'm waiting to get in. But then they all disappear, and obviously they got pushed into some special door to get into this party because they're young and beautiful. They're talented. But, so now I'm there, standing there with my wife, and I'm like, we should just go. I'm not going to get into this party because I'm not going to push my way through this thing. A side door opens, and the cast of Gotham come walking out the side door, and then their PR person goes, clear the way, we have the cast of Gotham coming through. And all the sea of humanity parts. And as they're walking, these guys, they look at me and they're like, Todd. Like, I literally just worked with them a week ago.
Amazing.
And so I grabbed my wife's hand and I sort of crowd surfed my Amazing. Way into the party with the cast of Gotham. So they parted the way, and then we got to the party, which was... The party was bananas. It was literally a party where I saw Arya Stark dancing with...
Do you remember which party
Harry Potter. It was the EW party.
Yeah, that's why.
She was dancing with... That. So it was like Game of Thrones dancing with Harry Potter while we're talking with Doctor Who. And I'm just being a 12-year-old nerd boy the whole time.
Yeah.
Just thrilled.
Damn.
Just thrilled. But so, yeah, so...
Well, this year, so you're definitely...
You're too cool, man.
This year, you're on the...
That was a fun story, right? Cool.
This year, you're on the VIP list this year for sure.
I don't know about that. I don't know about that. I don't even know if I'm going.
Fair enough.
Yeah, I don't even know.
I'll take your spot at that party if you need somebody to represent
look,
you.
Look, I am always humbled to get on those lists and have a good time. The other thing is I've done so much genre TV, and the people that were at this party, it was like the guys from Supernatural, and so I'd worked with them. So it's kind of like a high school reunion because I'd seen people that I haven't seen for 12 years.
Yeah.
And then I realized that if like a bomb hit that roof, it would have killed pop culture for a good year.
Don't
because
say things like
meeting,
that.
Meetings like they're all Everybody. In one place. Like Joss Wheat, like it was really fun. But the point of the story is I rode the cast of Gotham into this party.
You crowd surfed your way in.
I just kind of did it.
It's like, a good cast to ride.
Come quick. So I jumped and rode on their coattails.
That's so awesome.
Fantastic.
Well, what Gotham was brought up for was that.
I derailed it. I told
you. No, you didn't. Not at all. The fact that the girl who plays Selina Kyle, Cameron, said that it is going to be 10 episodes that it's been picked up for. So we knew it's going to be a final season, but now it seems like it's going to be a 10 episode season. That's not been confirmed by the show, but that is what she said.
Mm-hmm.
Tara Strong, who we talk about all the time on the show, because she's got the best
so
voice.
Super talented.
Yeah.
Such a fan of her as a person.
Yeah, she's just awesome. But she tweeted out saying, wow, just so y'all know, at a movie session today, they told us that if Teen Titans Go movie kicks all butts, they would do our show, thank you, at the same time as season 6 for reals. Mm-hmm. That's all caps. So go see it, even if you hate us. Which
we should invite her on the show too.
Say, definitely.
Sandberg said he'll come
so
on.
So if
maybe.
Teen Titans Go to the movies is does well,
looks
then
funny.
The series might come back.
It looks
the point
really
of that,
funny,
which is cute.
I think we should do another campaign like we did for David Sandberg, who said he would love to come on at some point when he can talk more. I think we should just put out a tweet saying, hey, fans, if you want Tara Strong to be on the show, let us know, because she is a fascinating person, so talented, and look at her body of work. We'd have so much to talk about.
Yeah, that's definitely true.
So,
I feel that, and I love when you guys...
And I'm a fan of her as a person. She's very, very philanthropic, and I love people that do that, so...
So another fun piece of news this week was that it came out from Screen Rant that Smallville alum Justin Hartley, who you guys know better now from This Is Us, he's open to guest starring on Arrow, and that there was a whole spinoff plan of him and Lois that was going to spin off of Smallville. Some weird thing that, you know how like news stories come out about shows a decade later and you're like, how did this just... What?
Right.
What just happened?
Yep.
So I had some fun with that one. I know we're running short on time, though. So that is pretty much it for TV talk.
Jesus. And that does it for the entire episode.
Yeah.
When Roxy drops into a baritone voice, you know it's over.
I have a grid range.
Yeah.
Go really high.
Okay.
Let's take it to TV.
Tara Strong, you better watch your back.
Yeah, there's a new voice in town. Tara Strong.
We're at DC Movies SK on Twitter, facebook.com/DC Movies SK. Follow Mike Kalinowski at Mike Kalinowski. Follow Adam Gertler at Adam Gertler. Oof, that was loud. Todd Stashwick, where can people find you?
At Todd Stashwick on the Twitter, at T Stashwick on the Insta.
And of writing course. Suicide
and then,
Squad,
and then Facebook, you can find it there, too.
And watch 12 Monkeys. The final season hits June 15th.
On Sci-Fi, and then seasons 1 through 3 are on Hulu.
Exactly.
So catch up.
Roxy Stryer. Binge.
Yeah, I'm Roxy Stryer. You guys can find me everywhere at Roxy Stryer.
Yeah. Johnny LaQuasto at JQuasto and JLoComedy.com for all shows and many other things as well. I can't think of anything else to promote. So, hey, thanks for watching. And, of course, Tony in the Booth and Popcorn Talk Network. Thanks for watching. Thanks for listening. See you next week.
Thanks, guys.
From producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire Popcorn Talk Network, we would like to thank you for tuning in. For questions or comments, be sure to visit popcorntalk.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of the Popcorn Talk Network.
The views expressed herein are those of the host only and do not necessarily reflect the views of its owners or principals.